Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you are over, say, 30 and grew up in the DMV, you've known Charles County as that sleepy, distant, rural county way down there somewhere. But it is far from that now. The population has exploded. According to the U.S. Census, the population has grown by some 20,000 people every 10 years since 1990. And with that growth has come some growing pains. Well, joining us to talk about that is State Senator Arthur Ellis. You can talk to him as well. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. As always, we are taking your questions and comments all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight. Senator Ellis, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Mr. Harold Fisher, thank you for inviting me, and I really appreciate being here. I've been a longtime listener, so it's a joy being able to be on your program tonight.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's get into some of the more recent issues. We saw some reports coming out just this week about Indian Head Highway and the Piscataway Tribe in Charles County, people who are still living there, part of that community. They want the name changed. They believe that the name is racist at worst, inappropriate at best. Your thoughts about it? Is it time to change Indian Head Highway's name to something else?
Well, yeah, excellent question. It's long overdue. That change is long overdue. We had the Washington football team suspended their name and have a new name now. We have the highway and the town, for example, still have the Indian Head name. So I think last year I put in a bill to change the highway name to the President Barack Obama Highway. And it's complicated. These things take multiple years. I know folks have put in other bills to do that. I think, you know, going forward, we will develop the consensus necessary to effectuate that change.
Couldn't be done this legislative session?
Well, I know there is a bill in the House to do it, but I don't think there is one in the Senate. And I believe the bill was introduced kind of late. We're over halfway through the 90-day legislative session right now. And so I don't see it happening this year at all.
What do you think would probably be, outside of a name change, one of the most difficult issues about Indian Head Highway? I can tell you that I don't travel to Charles County because, speaking rather tongue-in-cheek, by the time you get to Indian Head Highway, Route 210, just off of 495, by the time you get to Waldorf, you'll have a birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Traffic is
horrendous, really horrendous. And that's part of our growing pains. You know, Pop, like you said in your intro, the county has grown tremendously over the last 20, 30 years. Now we're the majority African-American county, the highest household income in the nation for majority black county. A lot of growing pains, and one of those growing pains is the traffic headache. But, you know, our residents and people have moved there and continue to move to Charles County because we have a large number of new schools, beautiful schools. We have beautiful neighborhoods where you can get nice apartments, townhomes or single-family homes. And it's very inviting, a great place to live, a lot of green space outside of Waldorf, and I think we'll talk about that later. And so the traffic came along with the growth, and that's been my number one priority, to improve the traffic into Charles County, which is not just Indian Head, but Route 5, Branch Avenue, into Route 301. And so I've introduced legislation which passed last year. On the third year, I put that bill in to bring light rail to Charles County, connect with the Branch Avenue Metro stop to take a light rail train straight through by Andrews Air Force Base, down through Clinton by the Southern Maryland Hospital, into Waldorf, and then terminate at the White Plains. So for the first time ever, the state accepted the project, and it's put in $5 million a year for 5 years to do some engineering and environmental work.
Yeah, and you know, on the face of it, you know, it sounds wonderful, but mass transit, as we have seen in Maryland with trying to deal with, you know, the Purple Line, and you're talking about issues with, you know, with light rail, while there may appear to be the political will for, you know, for that kind of thing, do you believe that that is something that would be accepted by the general public? Because people love their cars, and at least from an observer's point of view, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I just think that people are more interested in getting where they want to go, when they want to get there, and that, you know, the mass transit question in the minds of a lot of people may still remain a question.
And I will not correct you. You are 100% right, Harold. So if we take 25% of cars off the road, it'll free up traffic so perfectly that folks would love to drive. But we have a lot of people who love to get on the train to get to work, take a nap, going and coming, to read the paper or whatever, listen to WHUR or okay, whatever. You know, a lot of people, studies have shown that there's a demand for it. And I worked in New York City, grew up in New York for a while, and I enjoyed taking the subway. I didn't have to deal with traffic. And the subways in New York and, you know, metro system in Washington area is just full during normal times, of course. And we will return to that high peak, high demand. And so we don't have to take everyone. We will not take everyone off the roads, but we will free up enough space on the road, so instead of an hour and a half getting to Washington, D.C. to work on a regular day, maybe it'll take 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so that's the goal right there.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Charles County and the growth that it has experienced over the past several decades, and how that once Sleepy County is changing. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to the phones real quick. Pernevelin calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Pernevelin, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hello, yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead, please.
Okay, yes, I just wanted to say that I do thank Senator Ellis for representing the people of Charles County very well. I'm a resident of La Plata, Maryland, and one of the things that I noted right away was the fact that Senator Ellis made sure we had a vaccine clinic at the Blue Crab Stadium, and my husband and I were able to sign up and receive a vaccine. So I thank God for the fact that he made sure that we had one in Charles County, that we didn't have to drive all the way up to Prince George's County. And I also just wanted to say that I thank God that we have a senator that is actually representing the people of Charles County, who's actually representing us well, who is a fighter for us. And we haven't, I'm just going to be honest, I've been in Charles County, my husband and I, for the last 23, 24 years. And our children graduated from La Plata High School. And the first time we ever heard about scholarships for young people was when our senator actually told us that there was scholarship money available from the state for students who are attending state and community colleges. And that's a blessing because I had never even heard about that. So I just wanted to give credit where credit is due. We have a wonderful senator who's fighting for us, who's representing us.
So Pernevelin, let me stop you with the political commercial. I appreciate the fact that you were supporting him, but that is not what we're doing here. We are talking about some real issues, but I'm glad that you're happy and I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Van. Van calling from Upper Marlboro. Van, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, look, it's a pleasure to talk with both of you, right? And here's my problem. I've been living in Prince George's County for 55 years, okay? And now I'm seeing the biggest change ever. And my problem is this. Why are we allowing food places like Royal Farm just to come in and set up shop all over the black community, right? And we know with all the high blood pressure that we have going around and people dying from heart attacks, that we allow them to set up shop in the black community. And all they are producing is fried chicken, gasoline, and pizza.
Well, let me see what the senator has to say about that. I think he is correct, and I can't speak for Charles County, but I do know that, yes, we have seen the proliferation of Royal Farms gas stations. They are huge, and some people like the chicken. Some people like the convenience of gas stations. Some people like Van, not so much. So do you think that this is an issue in Charles County, Senator? And if so, how might you address that issue?
Okay, Harold, thanks. You know, I did not hear the caller. I don't know if there's a technical issue. I don't hear any of the callers on my end. So if you could restate the question for me.
So he is concerned about the growth of Royal Farms.
Okay.
Yeah, he's concerned about the growth of Royal Farms. And as I was saying, I don't know whether or not this is an issue in Charles County. But, yes, they are popping up in Prince George's County. They are popping up in the Baltimore suburbs and, indeed, even in Baltimore City, where I make my home. And there are, whenever there are notices, I know, there were notices about concerns about whether or not a new Royal Farms gas station and fast food chicken stop is going to be constructed. There is a lot of concern. And as I was saying, some people like the chicken. Some people like the convenience of gas stations. Van, however, does not. And as it relates to Charles County, is this a concern of your community? And if so, how might that be addressed?
Okay, thank you for that. So to answer the question directly, we do not have any Royal Farms in Charles County. There is one, a brand new one on Route 3015, a little bit north of the Charles County border in Prince George's County. But I haven't heard any concerns about them. I think the people who might be really concerned are the folks who might like other gas stations and convenience stores, whether 7-Eleven or Wawa, or I'm not sure what the issue is. I don't think they put out any mom-and-pop stores out of business. So I'm not sure exactly how to address that. Mm. Of course, you know, America being a free enterprise system, anyone can open a legal business anywhere they want once they get the permits and the approval, and there's no barriers to anyone opening a legal business in the state or in the nation.
Well, Van, maybe in the future, if these things continue to happen, it may require some civic activism from all sides. But thank you so much for your phone call and your concern. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the growth in Charles County, what that means for one of the fastest growing counties in the state of Maryland. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Daryl, calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Good evening, Senator.
Good evening.
My question is that why didn't they want Metro to come to Charles County, and why didn't build an overpass to accommodate all the traffic that's going in and out of Charles County when they open up the shopping center? Because the traffic, like, actually, I work down in Charles County. I live in Prince George County, but I work down in Charles County, and it takes me 52 minutes each way to get to Port Tobacco. But my thing is that if they would have built an overpass where the traffic can consistently flow, once you get to the Wawa, the traffic seems to open up because people are going towards Matawan Beantown Parkway and then straight down 301. Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they do an overpass versus having to have those light standards, which cause a lot of traffic?
Senator, before I have you answer that question, I am going to take a break. But, Daryl, I want you to hang on because I want you to hear his response. Also, we're going to be talking to Randy calling from Bethesda. We're also going to hear from Patricia calling from Waldorf. We are talking about Charles County and its explosive growth over the past several decades. My guest is State Senator Arthur Ellis. If you have a comment, if you have a question, as always, we take your comments or questions all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight. Lines will be open. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we will take your phone call. We're going to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, and you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. As I said, if you're on the phone, hang on. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about the changes and the growth that are part of Charles County. My guest tonight is State Senator Arthur Ellis. If you have a comment or a question about the growth in Charles County, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before the break, we were talking to Daryl. He had several concerns, one about Metro and one about an overpass. Senator, please go right ahead.
Yeah, Daryl, excellent question. So there was a lack of attention to our growth and transportation issues in the last 20 years. And so a lot of these things went unplanned. And I decided I ran 2018 was the election. I was sworn in office 2019. So I'm in my fourth session now, fourth year in office. And the folks put me in because I advocated for these solutions that were not being advocated for. And so these are issues I really care about. That's why I push for the light rail and other improvements to our road system, overpasses. There's no reason why that new shopping center in Brandywine should open and they put a new light there at that road. That shouldn't have happened. Also, you have that bottleneck up on 301, a little bit north 5, a little around the hospital where it goes, the road 301 goes from 3 to 2 lanes. And so those things need to be addressed. We're advocating for them to change it, to fix those bottlenecks and to remove all those lights and make both 210 in the Indian Head Highway and 301 Route 5 highways without traffic lights. And so that's on our agenda here in Annapolis. and we are advocating really well, to really hard to get that done.
Okay. Thank you so much, Daryl, for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Randy, calling from Bethesda. Thanks for calling, Randy. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just have one question for the senator. I think it was a great idea to bring a light rail in, but will it be affordable ride? That's all I want to know. Will it be affordable for the people that, you know, to ride the rail back and forth?
Yeah, definitely it will be affordable. It will be a government-run system, Maryland Department of Transportation, and it will definitely be affordable because when we build it, we want the riders to come. So the pricing will definitely be affordable, combined with federal government, government workers. A lot of corporations, they subsidize rail ridership. So it will definitely be affordable, and we wanted to make it such that folks leave their cars at home, get on the train, and get to work or to the museums or to a ball game in the area without sitting in traffic for too long.
Well, the reason why I asked is because, you know, the Metro riders are really having problems with the price of the Metro, and you know, if there'd be similar in pricing, you may have the issue, you know, with ridership. I know gas prices increase, and of course, that will increase ridership, hopefully, but that will not last long with the Ukraine situation. But just going forward in the future, just you have to make it affordable for it to work.
Yeah, and so as you know, things progress, as we build the system, we will monitor that. And, you know, Maryland is a very rich state, the highest earned state in the nation, and we have the resources to make sure that whatever we do will be beneficial to our citizens. And if that includes subsidies for our light rail, that's what it will be.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, I do want to ask you about probably the biggest issue for, you know, for Charles County, and some would even argue Prince George's, and we talked about 210, also of course known as Indian Head Highway. There are still issues regarding safety on 210. This has been going on for years, from drag racing to speeding, and it is considered the deadliest highway in the state. Where are you and where is the legislature in doing something about this? It seems to me that everything else that has been done so far has not really been successful in making 210 safe.
Yeah. And so I know between Charles County Commissioners and County Executive, also Brooks and Prince George's, there have been considerable effort to try to tame the traffic on Indian Head Highway. And I approach it in a holistic manner. So you know, we do a name change. We have the state have regular pickup of the trash on the highway, have the state mow the grass, you know, and basically have adequate enforcement. Take out a lot of those traffic lights, put overpasses in. Right now, you have a lot of stress on the commuters using those roadways. Create a lot of stress and anxiety, knowing that you got to get home to a ball game for your kids. You have to get home to maybe cook dinner for the family, and you're stuck in traffic. You know, it creates a untenable situation where things open up and folks want to floor it on that road, you know, go fast. And so when we approach the entire problem in a holistic manner, put in more safety enhancements, I can tell you we have, I think, three speed cameras on that road now. So I can see where it's driving that road all the time. That's my commute road from home. I live in the Indian Head area, and I commute to Annapolis. I see people really driving a little slower now. So I think when we look back at last year into this year, statistically, we'll see some improvement in the numbers of fatalities and terrible accidents on that highway, because I can see the traffic is slower now. And we need continued enforcement from the state police. We need continued presence from the Prince George's and Charles County sheriffs to make sure that people know that law enforcement is serious. If the traffic speed cameras don't get you and the red light cameras don't get you, patrols by our law enforcement heroes will be able to keep us safe.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Constance, calling from La Plata. Thanks for calling, Constance. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank y'all for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question about, Senator Ellis basically went right into it when he talked about the policing. Charles County has the state police, the sheriff, and the La Plata police all in one county in the courthouse. When I look around at St. Mary's County, PG County, they have several problem-solving courts. PG has 8, St. Mary's has 3, and we have way more people in Charles than St. Mary's. I just want to know his thoughts about adding more problem-solving courts to Charles County, including the Veterans Court, because I know he is a veteran, and thank you for your service.
Okay, you're quite welcome, Candace. And so the thing is, you know, those are issues that we're working on. I know the beautiful thing about our delegation to Annapolis, we all have different professions, and champion for police reform in the courts and juvenile justice. We are champions for that. Our delegates, Deborah Davis, C.T. Wilson, Enos Patterson, we bring these issues to Annapolis, bringing more specialized courts, like the Veterans Courts. And so we have to work with the court system, our judges, and our state's attorney, who basically govern that space. And I think they have the capability to bring these particular specialized courts into the system. And as we work with them forward, going forward, if they say they do not have enough resources, well, we can work and get the resources to them from the state to do these great courts that can, juvenile courts, teen courts, like I said, veterans courts. We can get it done like other jurisdictions have those to make sure that we deal with issues that come up in a specific way to really have more reform than just a lock them up and throw away the key.
To her, I do want to drill down a little bit about this issue prior to getting into the court system, because while it may be happening slowly, Charles County is beginning to see some of the same issues that Prince George's and Montgomery and Fairfax counties are dealing with. As I said in the very beginning, Charles County decades ago, this sleepy little rural town, but now it is bustling and growing. But with that comes the kinds of law and order issues that some of its neighbors to the north have been dealing with. I mean, you had a ghost gun issue a while back. It's beginning to mirror some of the same crime issues that its neighbors to the north have. Does that mean, for example, that the Charles County Sheriff's Department needs to grow more? Does it need more deputies? What do you believe is the answer to policing in the county?
Yeah. So yeah, thank you for that question, Harold. So the issue with policing, I think when the police have to show up, that's the back end of our failures. What we need to do, what I'm advocating for, is to bring resources to the community that give our youth a lot of diversionary activities. For instance, I have a bill for $45 million for youth in sports and learning complex to bring it to Charles County, because we have none of that in Charles County. We're going from like a sleepy agricultural community to now a suburban community. And so we need these resources, Boys and Girls Club. We need the pools, and we need the ball fields where our sons and daughters can go and play basketball in our parks. Right now, most of the parks in Charles County, they might have a baseball field, but they do not have basketball courts. You know, that is something that I have a bill in also to correct. And so we need to have activities for our young people. And most of these police-involved activities are around young people. And I really believe having too much time on their hands. And so we're working hard to bring these facilities to Charles County. And to, like I said, the Boys and Girls Club, Sports and Learning Complex, basketball courts at our parks. And also Waldorf, I must add, Harold, is the fourth largest city in Maryland, around 80,000 people in Waldorf. And Waldorf does not have any parks. We have Juneteenth and other celebrations. It's on concrete, asphalt, in the parking lot in Waldorf. So we have a big bill going through the General Assembly this session, and I was able to put in that bill to bring more parks to Maryland. I think it has a price tag of $150 million over the next 4 or 5 years. Well, I put Waldorf in that bill for the state to have a state park in Waldorf. And so we're building these diversions, these recreational activities. We want to bring the Boys and Girls Club to Charles County, the Waldorf, Bryans Row, and the south part of the county. We're working hard to bring the money in, to bring the amenities in. And it's really happening as we speak. It happened with light rail. It's happening with the parks. It's happening with the Boys and Girls Club and recreational activity. So we want to bring more activities in to supervise our young people to have them have to do positive things. We're working on enhancing our community college to bring back a lot of programs that they took away from Charles County. As Charles County became majority black, it's mysterious that a lot of these programs start disappearing from the county, like the pool at the College of Southern Maryland campus in Charles County closed down. The daycare at the college closed down. And I said, hey, stop it. Bring them back. Open up. Our population is growing. We need more, not less. So we have these issues that we're dealing with, and I believe that when we tackle these issues successfully and we address the need for supervision of young folks, to take them off the streets, to give them things to do, and I believe that we will have a control on crime. And I know that the sheriff's office always asks for more officers, and there's a formula that they go by as the population grow. There's a formula that they get more officers. So Sheriff Troy Berry doing a great job. Just staying on top of this issue, and so we just want to make it a holistic solution to whatever crime problem that will pop up to lessen the effects of it by having activities.
Okay. Constance, thank you so much for raising that point. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Patricia, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just want to say thank you for a job well done and all that you're doing for Charles County. I'm a resident of Charles County, and I do welcome the light rail. By the time it is up and running, I'll probably be retired, but that's okay. We need it anyway. But what I would like for you to take a look at is the St. Charles Parkway area, because they're still doing a lot of building, and they're doing it all the way up to the plated line. So the traffic is getting very heavy on St. Charles Parkway, and I do see that they are having a lot more accidents. I've been in the county for like 17 years, and I see that it is growing tremendously. So if you could take a look at St. Charles Parkway, I think it needs to be looked into, because I believe it needs to be widened, because now we're starting to have a traffic buildup.
Okay. Thank you for that, Patricia. We'll definitely have my staff connect with the county. That's a county road, and have the process advance as far as see what solutions they might have already that they're working on. If not, to basically bring your concerns to the county, and we'll work with them to make sure we take care of traffic and any accidental accident producing intersections there.
Okay, yeah, because St. Charles and Smallwood is where they have a lot of accidents at.
St. Charles and Smallwood?
Yeah, St. Charles and Smallwood. A lot of times they have a, well, coming from Smallwood onto St. Charles, you have this little yield, and the yield is so short that they have a lot of accidents right there because it's such a short little distance for you to really stop. It's always someone on your back end, and, you know, you just not as safe because of the fact that you don't really have much room.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you. We'll definitely look into that.
Right.
And,
you know,
issues like this that constituents bring up, I take care of, and we resolve it. And so I really appreciate your call, Patricia. Mm-hmm.
Patricia, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Omar, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Omar. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I love Charles County, and I always tell people that it's a hidden secret, you know, and I own three properties in there, and I rent them all. My issue is that it's growing very fast, but there's still a lot of pocket of food desert. For example, White Plains, if you're in White Plains, you have to come all the way down to Crane Highway or 301 to shop. If you're the end, if you at the end of the Indiana Highway, a Charles County part, you have to drive all the way up to Waldorf to shop. So, like from 228 all the way up heading to O'Brien's Road, there's only one CVS down there. There's not a lot of supermarket. I don't know whether that's an issue you guys are going to address, the issue of food desert in the county.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue that we are addressing, and it's a problem, and we call them food deserts. That's a USDA designation, food deserts. And so what we are doing is there is, I know we'll, I'll give you a specific example, in Indian Head, we're getting funds for them to open a fresh foods store supermarket in Indian Head. And there's a bill that's going through here. It's called Project Restore, where the governor is putting $25 million per year. He started that last year, and he wants to continue with this bill. And we codified, put it in law, because, you know, Governor Hogan's last term, he wants the program to continue. So it's now in the General Assembly to pass the law to help businesses pay their rent or mortgage and give them working capital for like up to 2 years. I'm putting an amendment in to for us to focus on food deserts. And we have a lot of food deserts in Charles County, in Prince George's County, in Baltimore, throughout, all over Maryland, we have these food deserts. So I want the administration to focus on food deserts and help to pay the rent or mortgage and the operating costs for these supermarkets that can come into these food desert areas and take care of the population for the need for fresh, healthy fruits, vegetables, meats, etc.
Okay. Omar, thank you so much for your phone call. Before I go to the next call, one of the things that did occur to me, because I do have some friends who are currently living in Charles County. A dear friend just moved from Hyattsville to Charles County. But one of the things that I've noticed, and this may not be your wheelhouse, but I'm sure you are aware of this, is that the growth, the population growth in Charles County is overrunning the infrastructure, as we know. And one of the big issues is cell phone coverage. In some parts of Waldorf rural parts of Waldorf, La Plata, White Plains, if you don't have a home phone, you can't talk to anyone. Because if you try to call them on a cell phone, coverage is really, really spotty. What do you have any thoughts about that?
Yes, definitely. Change the carrier. So I'll tell you, more expensive carriers. I won't give them a plug. I had to switch to Verizon because they have coverage. I live in the country part of Charles County, and when they build a new tower in Marbury towards Indian Head, I mean, great coverage. So it's a matter of, it's about the carrier and their investment in the towers. And unfortunately, the smaller carriers, maybe a more affordable monthly plan, they are centered in the population centers like Washington, D.C., or maybe Silver Spring, right? So the further you get away from those areas, mm-hmm. the worse their coverage is. So it's a problem with the carriers that are offer the more affordable plans. But, there's – and we have an issue also with broadband in the more rural parts of Charles County. I mean, you're talking about the last mile. Well, there's no last mile, but some of these availability for broadband and internet service. I mean, you go to far ends like Nanjimoy and or Cobb Island, the Cobb Neck, southern parts of the county. You will have problems with receiving internet service. Good news is the state have broadband expansion to these areas, and lots of money is coming in to do the build out. So we're building out those areas now as we speak. We still need more resources to continue to supply all the internet and cellular coverage we need in those further reaches of Charles County. But it's a problem that we are aware of in government, and we are working tirelessly to solve those problems.
Let me go to Turner, calling from Charles County. Turner, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening, Senator Ellis. Thanks for your forward thinking with regards to education reform in a county that has changed significantly since my arrival in 1966. What is your vision for a continued education reform in the county?
Wow. Okay. Excellent question, Turner. So we're talking about K through 12. Let's talk about that. We had a very Jim Crow era way of electing school board members. We elected at large. I mean, you had to run all over the county, very expensive. And so what we did in Annapolis, I led the charge, and we changed that to district voting. So instead of someone running for the school board have to campaign all over the county, reach, 170,000 folks, you just campaign in your district, your commissioner district. So it's maybe 35,000 folks you have to reach. And so it's more affordable, more doable. And this year, I just look at the people running for office. These are a lot of them regular parents, regular citizens who have children in the school system, and they want to make a difference. So that change, we're seeing the effect of it with people running throughout the county. It would be well represented. And we also, we did a big blueprint for Maryland Future 2 years ago to reform and to help our children to really get to kindergarten, first grade, ready to learn and to grow. So we will be paying for pre-K for 3- and 4-year-olds, we being the state and the counties. So tremendous reforms to have our young people, our children, ready for kindergarten and to learn, ready to learn and to grow and to prosper. And then we're looking at higher education, our community college. I delved into that a little bit earlier on. You know, as we are growing, it seems like our programs are being stolen from us, taken away from us in the middle of the night. The pool in La Plata at the College of Southern Maryland is closed and have been closed. And so we just working with them to bring it back, to open it back up. Daycare center at the College of Southern Maryland in La Plata closed down. And I met a parent Monday was telling me her daughter went through that early learning center on the campus of College of Southern Maryland, and it was tremendous, helping her to get ready for school. her daughter, that is. And so we need to make sure that these resources are there in the county. And I'm bringing it up. I'm saying, hey, just bring them back to us, please. Also, we had a higher education center where you can give residents could get a bachelor's, master's, even PhD in Waldorf. That closed and moved down to St. Mary's County, like 45-minute to an hour drive south of Waldorf. I say that's unacceptable, and I put in bills in Annapolis on all those topics this year to bring attention to the issue and say, stop it, bring back our resources. As callers will know, our history as African-Americans in this country, we have to fight and fight and fight to preserve our educational opportunities. And I want to tell you folks, that fight is still happening now. The governor this year cut $129 million from the education, K-12 education budget for Prince George and Baltimore City, supermajority African-American communities. And under the leadership of Senate President Ferguson, we brought that money back in. So okay. We're advocates for bringing the resources to not just our community in Charles County, but to all the communities in Maryland so that educational opportunities will be there for our families, for our children to learn. And when they graduate, they can join the military, they go to college, they can just become whatever they choose to be in life because they are educated and properly taught.
Okay, Turner, thank you so much for your question. Real quick, Senator, have you endorsed anyone for governor?
No, I have not.
Are you going to anytime soon, or are you just going to let the chips fall where they may? I mean, you've got a football team and a basketball team running for governor this year, so
okay.
you got a whole bunch of folks.
So you know, the thing is, I was at
real quick.
I was at Wetmore's launch. It's at headquarters in Prince George's County this Saturday, and county executive also broke.
Yes,
came out and enjoyed him. Surprised. You know, I appreciate her leadership. And so we have to decide if we're going to follow that lead. And so that is a decision that's being contemplated right now.
Okay. We'll be checking with you. State Senator Arthur Ellis from Charles County, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Harold, I appreciate you, and thank you for the great work you do. And
just, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, March 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.